It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than your bartender thinking you're a loser. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I'm joined by Joe Curry.
Hello.
And Walt Popelo.
Hey, what's going on?
Pip is out, recovering from rotator cuff surgery, hoping she'll be in time for pitchers and catchers and gardening. Pitchers catching and dandelions.
The thing is that she'll be ready for spring training.
Yes, we need her back. On the show, drunks in the news and what your drink order tells your bartender about you. I have a brand new You Stink. This one just happened. Hot off the stink.
Mm-hmm.
Walt ran for political office. We'll talk about how that went. Because, you know, if you listen last week, you know, you want Walt in charge of things. He's established that. Walt is a man among men and should be leading us. We'll talk about that. And my review of the Megadeth and Scorpions concert. But first, last Wednesday, I was given the honor by the Rockland Boulders to throw out the first pitch of their championship game, which was also the last game of the year. Settle down, you. We'll get there.
Walt's chopping at the bit.
We'll get there.
Because he took the video.
We'll get there. Relax. Let me paint the picture, you jackals.
You put wolves in the hills. Your little painting.
Ruins it. And there's a happy little mountain and a jackal.
There's a jackal licking his chops behind a rock.
Behind a happy little bush is a rabid wolf. Two of them. A bunch of angry old white guys. Anyway. So I thought it was a pretty cool honor to get to throw out the first pitch. I think most people would think so. So I thought it'd be kind of cool to share with my friends and family and Walt.
Right.
That's awesome.
So I got Walt a pair of tickets, and Walt was nice enough to show up. Now this is a baseball. I've not thrown a baseball.
Oh my god!
You just settled down.
Haven't thrown a baseball.
I have not. Listen, I'm not paying in the senior circuit like you are.
Oh my god!
Settle down. Now a baseball, as you know, Joe, is smaller and lighter than a softball.
Yes.
So I played softball a few weeks ago. Walt dragged me out of retirement for that. Now, the first time I threw a softball in 2 years was actually to Walt.
Right.
And my first throw went a mile over his head. But fortunately, that was just practice.
Yes.
So I'm like, okay.
You weren't in a stadium with people.
Exactly. It was just practice before a playoff game.
Right.
And within a couple of throws, I got to throw the ball where the ball should go.
Right.
I just needed to.
In the dugout.
No. I need to loosen up. So now I get there and it's crowd starting to build,
but unfortunately
it's starting to rain. The last thing I need is a wet baseball. That's the last thing I need.
You were sitting in the dugout. Just put it in your pocket.
I was sitting in the dugout, but this is what I was thinking on the outside.
Oh.
I didn't know. The baseball was not wet as it would be, but I did not know. These are the things going through my head. I'm also now they bring us into the dugout before the game starts. And running through my head is like, well, I've seen some of these go horribly wrong. Gary Delabate of the Howard Stern Show threw opening pitch at a Mets game and missed so badly he hit an umpire.
Fifty Cent
embarrassed himself. Mark Wahlberg embarrassed himself.
Well, you're a good company then.
Exactly. Well, settle down.
These were pro baseball games. Right. These people threw them at.
Right. Now, the only good pitch that you remember, at least that I remember, is after 9/11, President Bush in Yankee Stadium.
Right.
With a flapjack on, a metal jacket, threw a strike.
Right.
That's the only good one you remember.
Right.
You always remember the bad ones. You never remember the good ones, except for President Bush's.
Wait a minute. Bush threw it at Yankee Stadium?
For the World Series.
Who threw it for the first game back when the Mets played the Braves?
I don't know who threw it.
I think Giuliani?
I think it might have been
Giuliani. And I'm taking a guess. I think it might have been Giuliani.
I think he threw two pitches. He had two strikes. So he's a really good Republican.
He was somewhat sane back then.
Yeah.
All right. So now I'm thinking, all right, well, maybe I'll get a chance to loosen up.
Right.
I really like to loosen up, throw a couple of pitches, because I haven't had a couple of days. I haven't had a chance to do it beforehand, and I know I guess a lot of these celebrities do practice
right
beforehand. I've had no chance. I'm like, well, maybe they'll let me throw on the side just so I can loosen up. I'll be fine. That doesn't happen.
Why is that?
Because there's no they don't care. They don't care.
Oh, I didn't know if it was because the rain is something.
They don't care about this first pitch.
They don't care about
this. Gavin's the only one who cares about this first pitch.
Well, America cares, mister.
No, they didn't.
America cares.
This is a league that's not affiliated with anybody. This is like throwing out a pitch at Little League.
No, it's not.
It is, too.
It is not.
Go ahead.
It is not. It's like throwing out the pitch at your first pitch at your stupid comedy club.
That's right. Same thing.
20 people in a shopping plaza.
Same thing.
That also fills some of your calendar, stupid.
Well, yeah. Yes. Well, I don't have a date, so no, I can say all I want.
I think it's a lovely
See Davin out of yeah. Well, Joe's got a date.
You won't be throwing a first pitch out there.
Joe's going to be warming up in the parking lot.
As well he should.
Let's get a warm-up. Go by the trailers.
So, all right, so go ahead. Now you get on the mound.
No, I'm not on the mound yet.
Oh, he's in the dugout, and I'm taking pictures of him.
Well, I text
pacing Walt. Around, well, Walt all
text,
nervous.
Walt texts me. He's like, where are you? I'm in the dugout. So I ask Walt to take a picture, which he's gracious enough to do.
Mm-hmm.
Walt says, don't worry. Don't be nervous. It'll be fine. So I'm stretching like my arm like this, but not really getting to throw.
Yeah.
I'm hoping I get to pitch on the pitcher's mound.
Right.
Because that's further away. My biggest concern is that I will throw it high and long. That is my big.
Okay.
Because they didn't want him on the mound to ruin the mound,
right.
So they made him stand on the grass in front of the mound.
Yes. Which is my nightmare. Now I get a lovely intro. You wouldn't recognize the person.
Joe, I got to tell you, they made him almost sound famous.
Really?
I'm they Rockland did. County wow. famous.
Wow.
Yeah, like credits, radio, television, scamming, iHeartRadio, everything.
Everything.
Apparently, if you've ever pitching been wasn't in there.
Well,
they left pitching.
So it's my turn. The catcher squats down.
Right.
I throw the pitch.
No, wait. The fat guy went before you, didn't he?
There was a fat guy?
There was a fat guy.
There was a fat guy. There was somebody who threw a pitch before you.
Oh, there was like a girl who like threw it horribly.
A girl.
No, who are these people?
I don't know. They were the team photographers. I think they let the team photographers throw the first.
Yes,
pitch.
They did.
Okay. So it was a man and woman.
They took pictures all year of them.
Yeah. Right. So like the woman threw it, didn't go well. The guy seemed to throw it okay.
Right. Yes, he threw it over the plate.
So now the catcher squats down. I'm told to throw. Joe, I throw this ball straight as an arrow. It is right down the middle. The only unfortunate thing is the catcher is not tall enough, as it went 10 feet over his head straight to the backstop.
Joe. It was the highest ball I have ever seen. And I had it on there, and I could not stop myself from saying, you suck on the video.
What expert commentary, Ryan, darling.
I also might give you a bill for a computer because I spit my coffee all over when I saw that.
It was the worst pitch I've ever seen. Now, I was telling them that, you know Rich Schultes, right? Schultes?
Yes, yes.
Me and Rich Schultes did it at the Renegades. Rick Zoles let me and Schultes throw a pitch. So me and Schultes, I take a pitch, and I gun it right down the middle.
Right.
Sure right down
did.
The middle. I did.
Did.
Did
you have a chance to practice?
No.
But you've been playing ball.
Yeah.
It's
called
ball.
Just throwing.
No, that's, but if you... But,
it's throwing.
I hadn't been playing ball.
You don't have to play ball.
Yeah, you do. If you
I will go out on the street right
years,
now and find 10 people.
But you played ball this summer.
No, I will find 10
so
people.
So did you. No, I didn't play baseball. I haven't played baseball in 25 years.
Oh, baseball, all right.
That's what I'm saying.
He's trying to play it off like the ball is smaller. Like,
it is.
If it was an aspirin, I would have really threw it high. But I will go outside and find 10 people, and they will throw a ball the distance you threw. They will
far.
Throw it to me every time
oh,
and not throw it on my head.
If we had time in a remote.
Listen, nobody wants to see your throw, all right?
No, so I never. I know. I don't want to be in the 10 people. I know I stink.
But it is. We play ball together. I'm
yes.
a pretty competent ball player.
He's all right. He's good.
Yeah.
Davin is a lot better than his body perceives.
You. Thank you.
Yes.
What does that even mean?
Davin is a little bit better than a fill-in.
What?
No, when
we're
we
not talking
Davin
about
down,
his comedy. Yeah,
when,
we called,
when we called Davin down to play, it was to fill a spot, but he's turned out to be more than a filler.
Well,
that's
in his
what
defense,
I'm
he's played a lot. You know, he's played a lot of softball.
Well, he sucks at throwing out first pitches, though.
I will.
He is 0-1.
I am 0-1.
It was really bad.
It was bad. But it's on the. It's
but
on
they
the,
like that though. They like when somebody
nobody
throws
cared.
It. Nobody cared.
It's on the Davin's Den Facebook page. Here's the thing. So I come up. I find my daughter. She goes, "Did you warm up? Did you practice?" I go, "No." She goes, "I could tell." I'm getting heckled by my daughter.
Because then your daughter's got a lot of you
and,
in her.
And then,
really?
And then she videoed it too with her little iPod. She sends it to all her little 10 and 11 year old friends. So now this thing is going viral in the sixth grade set. Nobody films when I make a good point.
27 hits.
Oh, God. Wait till he goes to pick her up at school the next time. I was like,
yeah, I don't need that. Stink. Nobody films me making a diving catch in softball. Now, nobody, there's no evidence of that.
There's nothing to laugh about there. Why film that? The other thing is
nobody films that, but I invite Stupid down to film it, and I throw it, thank
he said
you.
He said actually take pictures. And
I did say take pictures.
He said take pictures, and I thought I would actually do better and film it.
And I thought I would do better. We'll be back.
This is Davin's Den.
It's Davin's Den.
All right, gents, we are back. Should we do some drunks in the news?
Yes.
All right, let me find that. Well, first, but I'll find the stupid jingle first. Joe Phil.
Ah, are we going to have the Benjamin Franklin drinking terms?
We are, Joe.
All right.
First, I'm going to play our little jingle here, and right. Then I will play the drinking terms.
All right, always love the drinking terms.
Welcome to Drunks in the News.
This week's Benjamin Franklin drinking term, as we know, Benjamin Franklin had over 200 synonyms for getting plastered. This week's is, it's a dark day with him. Like, I don't know. Does that mean he was, like, depressed and he had a drink, or he's having a bad time? What does that mean?
I don't know.
A dark day with him?
It's a dark day with him. That was Benjamin. That was one of Benjamin Franklin's phrases for saying you got drunk.
It could be that when you get you're bummed out, you start drinking, and that's an excuse to drink. No. So maybe it's a dark day.
It's blacking out. It's obviously blacking out. It's dark.
Hmm.
Interesting. So drunk so much that you pass out, Franklin's going to go, it's a dark day with him.
Yes.
Interesting. All right.
Passing out.
Right.
That's what I'm guessing.
Why not?
Watching your eyelids.
So apparently, bartenders form opinions by the drinks you order. Has this ever crossed your mind?
No.
No, mine
did.
It did?
Yeah. I used to bartend.
And it crossed your and you would make judgments on
judgments, yes.
Based on what people would drink.
Men who drank like white Zinfandel? Yes.
What was your judgment of them?
They were gay.
That was your judgment?
Yeah.
Okay. Any other judgments?
Girls who drank beer, like ordered like a bucket of beer, like five beers.
Right.
That's my kind of
girl. They wanted to get laid.
Okay. All right. There
that's
we
right,
go.
Because they're drinking five, so they know already they're drinking five beers.
All right.
How many girls do you know that don't drive a truck that can drink five beers?
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, then it's a dark day for everybody.
All right. So they surveyed some bartenders. If you order Goose and Cranberry or Red Bull, you don't know what you're doing. Why is that? I don't understand that.
Maybe it's not a good mix.
Yeah, maybe the cranberry and the Red Bull. Maybe you got to do one or the other.
I don't know. No, it's or. It's not and. It's or.
Yeah.
If you order a whiskey neat, they think you're hot.
Yeah.
Whiskey neat.
What is that?
I don't
whiskey
even know
without,
what that is.
I think that's whiskey
without ice.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Oh, really?
How are you a bartender? How are you a bartender? You don't know what neat is. Who are you to judge?
I was good at it.
Who are you to pass judgment on white Zinfandel drinking men when you don't know what neat is?
My father's bar way back when.
When you were 16.
Yeah.
If you order Jaeger bombs, if you're a male, you miss your frat boys. If you're a female, you have low self-esteem that can only be appeased by sex with a stranger.
Yeah, that's right.
You're back on board.
That's right.
Yeah, because Jaeger bombs, you know, it's, I don't know, it's... If you go into a bar, you just want to drink Jaeger bombs. I don't know.
I did drink them in the fraternity. I never ordered them, but I don't want to drink them now.
But that's the whole point.
Right.
That's the whole point.
So you miss your buddies.
I guess.
The girl's never going to want to do that unless she wants to black out and be taken advantage of.
I don't know. I don't know if she wants to be taken advantage of while she's blacked out, Cosby. Settle down. Old-fashioned, you recognize the value in hard work and hold the reward for that hard work in high regard. Okay.
I didn't even understand what you just said.
An old-fashioned. I thought it was an HJ. That's what I thought an old-fashioned was.
Really?
A little hand treat.
No.
I didn't know it was also a beverage.
An old fashioned, yeah.
Yeah, gonna get an old fashioned. I thought we were going out to the car.
Hi, girlie. Would you like an old fashioned? Why don't you come out to my roadster with me?
Well, no, she would offer me the old fashioned.
Okay.
Yeah, unless it's
Caitlin. Hey, why don't you go out to my car? We're going out to the roadster.
The roadster.
The roadster. All right. Bailey's on the Rock. You still live at home with your parents.
You know what? I love Bailey's like on the milk. Rocks.
You still live at... Well, no, you don't.
No.
But they think you do. They think you do. Yeah. That's weird. Moscato. I don't even know what a Moscato is.
It's a wine.
Okay.
It's my cousin's last name, yeah.
So they think you're just ordering this because you heard it on a Drake song. P.S. It is a sweet Italian wine. All right. Yeah. I didn't know. Did you know this, Walt?
No. I thought it was like some kind of a liqueur.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Bacardi 151 for friends. You're a douche. That's what they think.
That's so funny. I have a friend, Jeff, that drinks it like it's going, that and Pepsi, it's going out of style.
He's a douche. He is a douche. He's a douche.
He's a douche.
If you order it for yourself, there's something wrong with you. That's what they think.
Bacardi 151.
I don't, what is that, just like straight Bacardi?
Yeah, it's Bacardi.
Yeah.
Okay. Demand something for free. First of all, who goes to a bar and demands something for free?
My wife.
All right. You're with a group of squealing girls wearing tiaras and or matching shirts and will tip poorly, if at all.
Absolutely right. No, I think let's bring up the bachelor party.
They suck
we
at,
all know, and you yeah. run a place,
they
and we
suck
all
at
work
a comedy
it. You know?
Club.
Yeah. I get that. Long Island iced tea. Your ID is fake, and you're here to get white girl wasted.
You know why?
Why?
Because it's one drink. You only got to buy the one drink.
What
That's
do you
it.
Mean? Okay.
One Long Island iced tea will do it
Isn't
to you.
Doesn't that just make you thrifty then?
That makes you, yeah, well, what was the explanation on it?
Your ID is fake and you're here to get white
yeah,
girl
well,
wasted. All right,
it's because you're young. You're young. Your ID is fake.
I don't order Long Island iced teas. Don't like them.
I've never had them. But there's a lot of, there's like five or six liquors in there.
Yeah.
And it's the best bang for your buck, I'm assuming. And
you're going to get
you're
white
underage.
Girl bang. Yeah.
Yeah.
Apple teeny. You hate the taste of alcohol. I don't like the taste of alcohol, but I've never had an apple teeny.
I never had an apple.
That's
teeny
vodka
either.
With like a apple liqueur to it, isn't it? I think that's what that is.
If you go up to the bartender and go, whatever's cheap, in their head, this is a sign that you won't be tipping either.
That's correct.
Whatever's yeah. cheap, I hate.
Who would order that?
You know what, though? I went to a wedding where they didn't have top shelf liquor. And I'm drinking, I went up to get like a Jack and Coke, and it's like some other.
It's Jim and RC Cola.
Something like that, yeah. And it was. I got
Can I have
so,
a Dr. Pibb?
I like, got so sick when I got home, and it wasn't from being drunk. It was just hard. That was the worst thing is non-top shelf liquor. I think that's
not all
that's
the worst thing.
That's not the worst
thing. Yeah. I think this thing's worse. I mean, hurricanes are wiping out whole islands, but if Joe doesn't yeah. get his Jack and
doesn't
Coke.
Get the real stuff.
Give me Evan Williams. I'm going to scream.
Joe's looking around the wedding. Where is FEMA? This is a disaster.
This is horrible.
I want to get white girl wasted. What is going on here?
Funny.
A Jameson. You know what you're doing. So you get respect for ordering Jameson.
Okay.
I've never ordered a Jameson. I don't know what I'm doing, though.
That's a in a cheap bar, that's like a $4 shot.
Okay.
Jameson. It's a little bit higher level than
yes.
Jack.
All right. Cosmopolitan. Your aging lack of imagination and have watched too much SATC. I don't know what SATC is, but.
Sex in the City.
Yeah, it should have been SITC, but yeah, that's probably what it is.
Sex and the City, they always said the
Cosmopolitan. I agree with that, you lack imagination. That does seem like something, oh, I saw it on TV. Yeah.
Cosmopolitan.
I don't even know what's in that. I know it's red, the drink.
I don't know. Now, this is something I order a lot because I really don't know a lot of drinks. Straight up, I don't know a lot of drinks. I order White Russians a lot, and they say you've never worked at a bar before, so you have a foolhardy confidence that the milk in the cooler is not expired.
Let me tell you
what
something.
What did I know if it was no good?
You would know.
You would.
And let me tell you something. There was this one girl that I dated that broke up with me, and we used to drink White Russians. And she broke up. I was depressed, so I went to the local bar. I drank two pitchers of White Russians by myself.
Oh, my God. Was it top shelf?
Yeah.
Well, that actually explains a lot, Joe.
And the town burnout comes up to me and goes, and I go up to my buddy Frank. I go, Frank, I got a problem. He goes, like, what? He goes, Hacky just taught to me it made sense. Yes. You're gonna die. And I did. I got so sick.
It's the milk.
I was so sick.
But I mean,
what was that vodka and milk, right?
Yeah, I drank two pitchers of this stuff.
A shot of well tequila. What's well tequila? The house tequila?
Yeah, it's just no name.
You are emotionally unstable. I just order tequila. I don't ask for brands because I'm not an tequila aficionado.
But the bartender should ask you.
Right.
He should say.
And then I go, whatever's
want,
cheap.
Which tequila do you want? You can get the Cuervo. You can get the well vodka. You can get the Patron. Patron is a big one.
I think I would probably go Cuervo Patron. I'd probably get that because I've heard of them. Because I've heard of them. I'm not an expert.
Yeah, but if you're not asking for it, they shouldn't be giving you the well vodka because they could be making more money on the other two.
Don Julio on the rocks. You know what you're doing. I don't even know what Don Julio is.
That's rum, I think, isn't it?
Don Julio? I don't.
Yeah, it is rum.
We don't know what we're doing. Patron Margarita. So you wish to spend $15 on a drink that will taste exactly the same as a $7 drink.
That's correct. You're paying for the Patron.
Well, but they're saying it tastes the same as the well.
And it does.
All right. Champagne for everyone. You have too much money and don't know what to do with it. That makes sense.
Yeah, but they should like that, though.
That's what they're thinking. They're not saying they don't like it. But.
Yeah, they're tipping. That's a tipper guy.
Hennessy and Coke, can you guys play some rap music?
All right.
PBR, hipsters don't tip. What's that, Pabst Blue Ribbon?
I love Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Do you tip?
Do you?
You're not a hipster.
I know, but I've loved Pabst Blue Ribbon for years.
You tip, though.
I always take care of the bartender. They're very good with bartenders.
PBRs.
Yeah. Love them.
A Lees in a snifter. I don't even know what that is.
A what?
A Lees. A-L-I-Z-E.
No.
It's probably a liqueur. Because a snifter is probably a liqueur.
Yeah.
There you go.
Aperitif or something like that.
Oh, you think you're fancy, huh? Okay. All right. Amaretto Sour. You're a female who never knew what to order, so a bartender made it for you once, and now you order it all the time because it's the only drink you know how to order.
that's on the nose.
That would probably be me too, though.
Makes sense.
Yeah. I would do the same thing, too.
Especially like for your, you know, with your people, you know, with your
with my people.
With, when you're with people,
oh,
you know, when
you're
it's
with
like,
people.
You know.
I thought you were making an anti-Semitic slur over there. No. With your people. your people and your Amaretto Sour.
No, that would be Manischewitz then.
On the rocks. All right, last one. One candy apple, two porn stars, one sour jack. Are you effing with me? You are the bane of my existence. I don't even know what that stuff is, but now you know what they think when you order it. We'll be back.
It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Davin's Den.
We are back. I got a fresh off the presses. You stink. Where I lost it, Joe.
Really?
Yeah, you know me. I don't. I'm often you stinking, and I'm solving people's problems because they're not doing their job wrong. But I was in no mood. But we'll play the official you stink song.
You stink.
It's just quicker if I have you do it. Actually, the live acoustic "You Stink" by Joe Kerr. Instead of me scrambling to find the stupid thing.
The unplugged "You Stink."
Unplugged "You Stink." So on Saturday night, I'm going to the city for the Scorpions concert, and I figure I'll park in a garage instead of trying to find street parking. I probably could have found street parking. Should have done that.
It's a Saturday night, bro.
It's a Saybaday night.
I know, but
Manhattan,
it looks like
in Manhattan.
Yeah,
I had a Groupon for Icon parking garages.
Right.
So originally, you pay $25, and that's supposed to cover the whole parking experience. But the thing expired at the end of 2014, so you don't get that, but you get the $25 you paid
right
towards your parking. So if the bill is $50 minus $25, that's supposed to be what it is. You understand? You follow?
So an expired coupon, they're honoring it at the regular price.
They're honoring, regular price minus the $25 that you paid for the original.
So they're not letting you in there for free.
No. So I'm trying to pull into the garage, and I see the lone parking attendant doing an 80-point turn. He is trying to maneuver this car backwards, and it's not going well at all.
Ugh. Like Austin Powers in that little golf cart. He's trying that hallway that just barely fit him.
Worse, because I can't get into the garage because he's doing this 80-point turn, now I am blocking traffic on West 30th Street. So everybody's honking me.
Yeah, well, everybody's patient in the city.
Exactly. They just want me to get where I need to go.
Yeah. And so do you.
So he finally stops with this, and I go, don't do that with my car. I don't want to see that with my car. So we go to the concert. We come back, and it's the same attendant. And he's trying to swipe. Now, he had taken the Groupon code originally. He knew what was going on. He knew the $25 was prepaid. This is not a mystery. Everybody know. But my hands are on the table.
We're all on the same page
with
this.
We're all on the same page here.
Yeah.
He's trying to swipe the Groupon thing. It's not working. Keeps on trying to swipe the thing.
Even though he knows it's from 2014.
Well, it says on the thing. Yeah. But you still have to swipe the little barcode into their computer. He's doing this for about 20 minutes. By the way, I noticed my car is parked behind a pillar. So I can only imagine how long it took him to get there.
He probably just got done parking it.
Yeah.
Wow, that was close.
That's probably why he was sweating when I walked in.
This guy's back.
So it's taken him 20 minutes to swipe.
Right.
I'm getting frustrated. I check to see if my keys are in the car, because I'm just going to pay him the money and get out of here. I don't have time for his shenanigans. It's hot in there. I want to go home.
I thought you prepaid him.
I did, but there's still more on top of it.
Why?
Well, because it's not $25 to park, because the coupon expired. Mm-hmm. So it's $25 minus the $50.
So it was $50 to park.
It was supposed to be $60 to park.
$60.
So minus 25.
Did you prepay him 35?
No, he wouldn't let me do that beforehand. I would have.
Oh.
But I'm prepared. We are prepared to give him the $35 so we can get out of there. He's swiping and swiping. It's not working. This is going on for 20 minutes.
I'm sorry, my friend.
He invites me into the booth. This is never a good sign.
Oh, my God.
I mean, because that's their safe space. Yeah. They never invite you into their...
What does it smell like in there?
I was
sitting on the couch with Johnny.
I was seeing colors. I wasn't sniffing.
Oh, my God.
So he's showing me that the barcode says it won't accept the coupon.
Mm-hmm.
He's showing me this. I'm like, I don't care. Here's the money. Let's go. We'll give you the money. It's like, oh, I can't do this. Why can't you do this? I'm not trying to cheat you. We've established I'm trying to give you the difference. Now he has to call somebody, because nobody can make a decision on their own. They don't have the power. And you've talked about this before, where the front line of the customer service does not have the power to make a decision.
Right, but in my case, it was a supervisor that makes that decision. This guy has to call his supervisor.
Right. So now he's calling everybody. Nobody's picking up the phone.
This is Saturday night.
Of course. It's going on for 10 minutes. Finally, he gets somebody on the phone, and they're talking Spanish. I don't know Spanish. I did hear the word problema. That's not a good sign. So then the attendant hands me the phone. He's like, oh, he wants to talk to me. Like, I don't want to talk to him.
Plus, you don't speak English.
this way, it's somebody on the phone telling you we're not going to accept the coupon.
Exactly. He's
not
like,
him.
Right, exactly. He's like, so the guy on the phone was like, through his, you know, broken English, of course. You know, we have a problem. Because our computer isn't accepting the Groupon code. I go, no. I go, we don't have a problem. I paid the Groupon. You have a problem. Yeah. Your computer isn't working. It's Icon's Garage and Groupon. I have no problem. Yeah. You have a problem. He's like, no, let me. He tries to explain it again. I go, listen. I don't have a problem. I just want to get out of here. Your man wants to get out of here. I go, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make you famous. I'm going to make you famous for all the wrong reasons, because I have a radio show. I have never pulled that card before. But I was just so angry I was going to pull the radio show card.
I've done it once or twice.
It's a lot. The last time I did that, I think, was with Chase and Local Splash. Yeah. Remember that? Remember that saga from a few years ago?
Yeah, yeah.
But I am yelling. You never see me yell. I go.
Except to me.
No, well, you deserve it. But it takes me a while to get to that point. Yeah. I go, you solved this problem. I don't have time for this. I want to get home. Enough of this stuff. So then he's talking to the other guy a little bit longer. It's supposed to be 60. They give me a bill for 50 minus the 25.
Nice.
So I paid the $25. Here's the question. Do you tip?
No.
You would say no.
I would tip.
After that anger, I wouldn't tip.
I would tip the attendant, because it wasn't the attendant's fault. I would, because it's the manager's fault, because the attendant.
I want to change my answer. I say that too.
Yeah. The attendant had it. Well, because the attendant, it's not his choice.
It's not his fault.
I'm sure the attendant would have just
wanted it. He was probably scared.
Yeah. But, you know, and it's still, believe me, sometimes I get stuck on the end of having a problem where I have to go to somebody to make a decision. And I'd rather just get the thing wrapped up. It's not his fault. It's the manager's fault.
I debated in my head. I tipped the attendant. With that rationale, it's not his fault.
How much tip?
That was a buck. The car was right there.
A buck?
Yeah, the car was.
You might as well just don't tip him.
No, but what?
I threw him a buck. I threw him a buck. What is it? The guy didn't just ride the plane.
The guy put me behind a pillar, had me sitting there for 45 minutes.
I give him $3. He
you didn't even want to tip him originally.
Yeah, but I changed my answer.
Yeah, but yeah, that does you no good after you've left the garage and you're thinking about crossing the GWB. Listen, let me call Joe and get his
name. He felt bad. I was going to try to fish out three singles for the guy.
Yeah, exactly.
I got to be honest. When they said this coupon wasn't working, I would have paid them the $60 and been home an hour before you.
No,
yes.
No.
I would have.
Let me tell you something. I went to the auto show, and they have – I love when they have –
Do they have somebody park the cars there too?
Oh, well – but when I go to the parking garage, and I didn't take the train because I didn't want to deal with the train. Event parking, it was like 60 – it was like a fortune. And I'm like, you got me. And I pull away from the park. I'm like, I'm not parking in here. Then I come around about 30 minutes later. The guy goes, hi. All right, you got me. Park my car.
All right, we'll come back and Walt will tell us about his run for political office.
Yeah.
This is Davin's Den.
So we have so Joe in our midst. We have somebody with political aspirations.
Yes.
How'd it go? What were you running for? How'd it turn out?
All right. So September 12th was the Republican primary. Right. So I'm in. I'm
what are you running for?
I was running for town councilman in the town.
What's a town councilman do?
Town councilman, the four town council people and the supervisor make the decisions for all the towns, taxes and they make
you guys set the tax rates and stuff like
yes.
that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, set the tax rates. You approve buying buildings. You approve just everything that goes on in town. You
know, okay.
There's going to be a kite festival. You approve it. It's everything.
Sounds like big decisions.
Yeah.
Would you get Rocket Man for the kite festival?
Yes.
That'd be nice.
No, but it comes down to balancing the budget and spending the taxpayers' money.
Sounds like a responsible job.
It is.
Okay.
It is. So I was running against the incumbent. Mm-hmm. What had happened was there's three spots open this year. Two of them are for 4-year spots, and one of them was for a 2-year spot. No. So I figured I would take on the guy with the 2-year spot, be in there for 2 years, and then 2 years run again, because it was just going to be me and him. If I went for one of those 2 4-year spots, there were two incumbent Republicans, right. There were two Democrats running, and there was an independent. I would have been the sixth person running for two spots.
Yeah,
so it was easier for me to just
and
run against
the one. And this is just
guy.
To figure out who's going to run
in
November. Okay.
Right. Correct. So I took on the incumbent, but I've had a falling out with the supervisor over this the whole job, losing the job with the Parks Department.
Walt had a job with the Parks Department. Somebody spread a rumor about him.
Right.
He was gone.
Oh, okay.
And so I was gone. So now my answer to that is, okay, well, I'm going to run for town council, and I'm going to be on the board of the people who let me go.
Just to make it's a spite run.
No, it's not. It's because I know what they do. Right. I mean, you never.
But when you were working for the parks, when you were working for the parks, you didn't mind it. But because you feel they right. did you wrong, you wouldn't mind making their life a little miserable.
Yes.
So it's a spite
and
run.
And also,
I support spite runs.
It's part of spite run, but it also I know what they do, and I was okay with them doing it because I was part of them doing it.
Right.
But now I'm not part of them doing it, and I don't want them to do it anymore.
It sounds like a real politician. You got this down.
I know what's going on. Yeah.
So now are you sure this is your first run at office? Because I'll tell you what.
Sounds good, right?
You just have presidential material.
So now I run against the one guy. Now I got to run the Republican end of it. Yeah. So what had happened was
you didn't want to run as an independent.
No, I'm a registered Republican.
Okay. Okay.
So what had happened was it was going to be come down to September 12th. He's a Republican. I'm a Republican. Whoever wins, the Republican will nominate him.
And then he goes against
the
Democrat.
But there is no Democrat. There is nobody running against that 2-year spot as a Democrat.
So you win this, you're in.
You're pretty much in. So what had happened was I found out he was running also on the conservative line, and he was running on the independence line.
Independence?
Independence Party. There's an independence party.
Okay.
Okay?
But that happens happens a lot. You know, what they'll run
you always see it, the Workers' Party, something like that.
Yeah, Communist Party.
Well, not work. I mean, Communist Party.
Green Party, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So now if I beat this guy in the September primary, I win the Republican nomination, but he also gets to run in November as a conservative. And
okay,
an independence.
So he's still going to be on no matter what. This is do or die for you. He's got a backup plan.
Right, but when I found that out, I decided to run and get petitions for the independent party.
Okay.
So now if I lose, I get to be on the ballot in November as the independent.
Okay.
So that's exactly what happened.
Okay.
I lost.
Doesn't this like sound like awful, slimy, swamp-ridden politics?
But it's always been that way. For
Trump needs to clean this
swamp. For hundreds and hundreds of years.
But think about this. And I was going to use those slogans, but I said, you know,
what
that
slogans?
Could hurt me, you know, make Chester great again, all of that. And that could actually come back and bite me because I think a lot of me being let go from the town had to do with my Trump support.
Yeah, but you're running on the Republican Party. They're kind of down with Trump.
Yeah, they are, but the people who came in and spread the rumors about me were Democrats or liberals, and they were the ones who
right. But the Republicans would still vote for you, even if you support Trump, and that's who you're trying to get in the primary.
In the primary, right?
But you're afraid it would bite you in November.
Yes. So now I run for it, and the town supervisor is running around helping my opponent.
Are they allowed to do that?
Yeah.
So it's like when a president comes in and campaigns for a senator.
Right. Just like Obama came in and campaigned for Hillary this past one.
Right.
So that's what happened.
Should have asked Obama to help you.
Yeah. So now I'm running as the independent in November.
So you did not win.
I did not
but
win.
But he did not
but
lose.
25.
Well, he lost.
I lost the Republican primary. Yes. I got. And here's the sad part of it. There's 2,500 registered Republicans in the town of Chester.
Right.
I lost 153 to 85.
People really care.
They really came out. They just came out.
Tax us all you want. Buy whatever building
we
you want.
We want Walt. That should be the slogan. We want Walt.
We like Walt.
Nobody likes Walt.
Yeah, nobody does.
So did you? Now, how'd you feel when you got the result of the loss?
I knew.
You knew going in.
No. I knew once I got that there were six districts, and the first one came in, and he had like 46. I had 23. I was like, oh man, what happened there? Because I busted my butt. Mm-hmm. To get, you know, I was texting right up until like 9 o'clock.
Quite the
hey,
campaign.
Did you get out? Hey, did you get out? Hey, Facebook. I put stuff on Facebook.
You really made a lot of effort. You texted in Facebook.
Well, I went
what
to
could
be,
possibly go wrong?
I went to people.
People voting in this election are 80, Walt.
But I knew most of the people that were on the Republican.
And they chose otherwise.
No, they just couldn't get out.
You
they
know what
didn't
you
get
are?
Out.
You are the first. You are my first pitch of politics. That's what you are, Walt.
Let's not get crazy.
I saw
here.
Somewhere.
I did, and so did he. He gets the difference.
But now comes December, November. I have the Republicans who voted for me. I have the Republicans who couldn't get out and vote for me. I have the Democrats who do not want the Republican in there, so they will vote for me.
But you're a Republican.
Yes.
And you're going to do everything the Republicans want.
No. Trust me.
Believe
I'm
me.
I'm making deals.
It's Junior Trump.
I got deals on the side.
All right, well,
and then I got all the independents.
All right, well. I can't wait.
Wish me luck.
Good luck, Walt.
We want Walt.
It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Davin's Den.
So I went to the concert of Megadeth opening for Scorpions. Weird pairing.
Just
because Megadeth is thrash metal,
is, yeah,
and Scorpions is
just
rock.
Classic rock.
It's,
yeah,
it's classic.
Just
rock.
A very odd combination.
No, it's heavy rock.
Scorpions?
Yeah, it's heavy metal. That's what they call
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but that's not really heavy anymore.
It's
rock.
It's more like heavy rock. I don't think they're mostly, you know, it's a couple of heavy.
Winds of Change is not going to, you know, make anybody bang their head.
Yeah.
So I wasn't really sure if Scorpions could follow the Megadeth energy.
Right.
You know, it's like us following a puppet.
Right.
You know, on stage, you know, it's hard to follow a puppet. You can, but you don't necessarily want to. I've never seen Megadeth before. Have you guys seen Megadeth?
No.
I'm not really a Megadeth fan.
I am. I dig him.
Yeah?
Yeah, I like Megadeth.
Look like you would.
He banged all his hair off. I like the one song of theirs I like is Symphony of Destruction.
That's a great song.
I couldn't even tell you one song besides Symphony of Destruction now. And I'll forget that tomorrow.
Here's what I noticed about myself. As I've gotten older, I like heavier music.
Really?
Yeah, I like in 20 years I'll be down with you in Rammstein. Like right now, I don't like it, but in 20 years, because like I'm like okay, Megadeth's not bad, whatever. So outside we have the counterfeit T-shirt guy. You know that's you got. Yep. I gotta buy the T-shirt.
Gotta chew him down.
Chew him down. Look at Walt doing radio. Look at Walt running for office. That'll be different in December.
Yeah. Maybe. Hopefully not.
It'll be off the record in December if he wins.
That's right.
So they got. I asked the guy how much, and he's like $20. Okay. So I keep on walking.
Standard.
Yeah, that kid. He's like, all right, 15. I go, you know what? 15 I'll do. I can probably get him down later, but let me get it before the show. $15. So he takes my shirt directly from his ball sack. So he keeps it warm.
Yeah.
You know, that people think I make this up, but no, they keep it right down their pants. I mean, these are the type of shirts that you have to wash the shirt before you wear and yourself.
Yeah.
and he hands a shirt to my friend Scott, the display shirt.
Right.
So Scott goes, should I put it on now? Like, he doesn't think that shirt was down his rear end or his balls at some point. Like, this is just a display shirt. Yeah, stupid, put it on. What could possibly go wrong? Give yourself crabs. So I got my Scorpion shirt. Cool shirt. Weird, though, no Scorpion on it.
Really?
Yeah, there's no Scorpion.
It just said Scorpions?
No, it had the image of what this tour is, the Crazy World Tour. All right, whatever. It's cool.
Okay.
It's fine. So,
you don't get to dictate what they put on their shirts.
I don't.
Wasn't in the meeting.
By the way, I go. You know, when it's straight from the ball sack, you know it's quality. I say that to the guy. He gave me a dirty look. These guys don't have a great sense of humor as they're hustling.
No, because they're trying to evade the cops.
Yeah. Well, that's why it's down his pants.
Yeah.
So Megadeth's on, they come on, and they do four straight songs before acknowledging the crowd. And then Dave Mustaine says, oh, you know, normally I talk to the crowd more, but, you know, we're running late, and the union, we can't run late, and Scorpions too. That's not true. They did the same set they did the night before. He's just lying to us. Dave Mustaine is lying to us right now. But four really heavy songs, people are into, people are in the front,
they're
full. And, you know, you don't always see that in the opening back. Right. A lot of times it's kind of empty there, so people are into it. Then they, you know, they do a couple more songs, and they do Symphony of Destruction, and then the other hit, Peace Sells, But Who's Buying?
Yeah.
You know that song?
Yeah.
That's a very good song, too.
Did you do The King Is Dead?
I don't know.
Okay.
All their songs sound the same to me. Yeah. But,
was that an Elvis song?
Yeah. No, The King Is
So you would think you would end on one of those two songs.
Right.
Good way to end the set. Those are your two hits, if you will. But they play another song, and they totally, like, bring the crowd down. I kind of feel like it was a layup. For Scorpions.
Really?
I kind of felt that way. Kind of felt like they could have ended stronger.
They only did five songs?
No, they did about 9 or 10 songs.
Oh.
But I'm saying they should have ended with a hit.
You know what? Look, when I went to see Iron Maiden last year, they played Wasted Years and Can I Play With Madness? And I was absolutely livid. I'm like, can I play? That's like you want to listen to Maiden, but you get your chick in the car. That's what you play. Yeah. And for an encore, I was thoroughly pissed because to me that wasn't like really a great tune to end with. So sometimes,
but they were good. Don't get me wrong. They used all the same videos that the Scorpions were using, which I thought was cool by the Scorpions. They had a NASCAR video, which I'm thinking, you know what, this probably goes over better places than Madison Square Garden in New York.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You know they were good. And then there's a break, and then the Scorpions come out. The Scorpions have been around since the early 70s.
Sure. Yeah,
they have such a catalog of hits.
Yeah,
why not start with one?
What they start off with?
I couldn't even tell you. Wait, did I write it down? Maybe I wrote it down. I gotta see. That's how bad the song is. I couldn't even tell you what the hell the song was.
Well, that you can't get it on like a playset online.
Yeah, no. This is what they opened it. Going Out with a Bang.
Wouldn't they make that their last song?
It's probably off the new album.
Going Out with a Bang.
Going Out with a Bang. How do you open Madison Square Garden, which you haven't played since 1984, with Going Out with a Bang?
Something off the new album. They want to try to get some.
The new album is from 2015.
That's like Donna Summer starting off with Last Dance.
Yeah, but everybody knows Last Dance. That's not like that at
all.
It's
a hit.
Yeah,
but you play that at the end of every wedding.
But it's still a hit.
Yeah, but you don't play that at the very beginning.
I understand what you're saying.
I'm just making a correlation here for people who don't know what Megadeth is.
I understand that, Councilman.
Governor.
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 So people finally start knowing what's going on about the third song and when they play The Zoo.
Right.
The Zoo's a good song.
Yeah.
But like the first half of the concert, it's just like a lot of stuff that people don't really. That's not.
Because what happens is some bands go out, they'll put out a new album and you want to play newer music, and sometimes it alienates the fans.
Yes.
Because with a lot of
because they're bored with their old songs.
Yeah, a lot of bands want people to hear their new music. And, so, you know, you hear about this from bands all the time. It's a problem. You go in, you make an album, you want to go play it, and you want to hear the old stuff, but you're making new stuff. And I guess what it is that if you're a classic rock band, the people in that age group are really not going out to buy your new albums. They remember the older albums when you were a kid.
It's funny you mentioned the age group. I did learn something from the Scorpions concert. I found the place where I can wear my denim vest with rock patches on it.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, that's a Scorpions concert. You remember those in the
80s?
Yeah. Those showed up at the Scorpions
the jackets,
concert.
The leather,
denim vest. Denim vest.
With the painted scorpions on the back.
No, just all like, every band they've ever seen or ever liked has a little patch on it.
I would love a jacket like that.
Now the band sounds great. The band, I encourage people to see the Scorpions. Band still sounds great, can play the hell. Klaus, the lead singer, still sounds fantastic.
Right.
Moves like Neil Diamond.
Because he's 70.
He's almost 70.
He's almost 70. You got to remember, these dudes are old. Man. All of them. That's why when they come to town, you got to go see them. You don't know if they're going to be around next
But everybody time. Else had energy. Rudolf Schenker's still had energy. He's still jumping around. He's the same age as Klaus.
Hey, you know, well, maybe.
It's Red Bull.
You know.
Is it the Red Bull?
It's the Goose and Red Bull with a splash of cranberry.
So, I mean, they ended well.
Right.
It was a good concert. But anyway.
Did they play Rock You Like a Hurricane?
Of course. Oh, yeah. Before I go, I want to. What do you think is their signature song? Winds of Change or Rock You Like a Hurricane?
Rock You Like a Hurricane. Joe, don't
Winter changed because it was the most popular song he had.
Okay, and what do you think?
Rock You Like a Hurricane. Rock You Like a Hurricane, I thought is a better tune.
Me.
But if you're making the decision as the band who were like where you know everybody in the stadium from Little Johnny to like Dad will know the tune. That's
I don't know.
Me and Scott debated this, and I came down with this. I think Rock You Like a Hurricane for guys. I think that's the one we think of Scorpion.
Right, right.
And I think for women, it's Winds of Change.
Right.
I think that's where it breaks down.
And you always bow to the chicks. You know, play something on the chicks.
I got to hear this Winds of Change.
All right. Walt, what's going on?
We have opening weekend at Joker's Comedy Club, 923. Billy Garen, and to get tickets, www.jokerscomedyclubny.com.
Joe, what
do you got? Nothing.
All right. Perfect. All right. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, please keep on listening.